He said, I welcome everyone tonight in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for choosing us. And we thank you for putting us in service. And we pray, Lord, that our service will fulfill your desire and purpose of choosing us in Jesus' name. We pray that no member of the body of Christ here and no servant of God will be useless or unprofitable in Jesus' name. Reveal more of yourself to us so that we can do exploits for you. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Tonight we're coming to Psalm 90. We're reading from verses 1 and 2. Psalm 90, reading from verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Then in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. As you look at the title of the psalm, it's the psalm of David. Sorry, the psalm of Moses. And yet Moses is telling us that the God we serve, and the God we dwell with, and the God who is leading us on, is not limited to a period. The period of Moses coming out of Egypt and leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. It says from generation to generation that God has been. And then in this verse 2, it says from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Anything we learn from the Psalms is based on this verse. Anything we learn from the promises of God and the prayer we pray unto God, our expectation of God, everything from the beginning of our calling until the consummation of the commission that he has given us, everything is hinged on the fact that God is from everlasting to everlasting. And the more we understand God, the more we know God, the more we know his provision and his promises, the more we will be what we ought to be. So tonight, we're looking at the message, the awesome greatness of the eternal God. The awesome greatness of the eternal God. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the preeminent attributes of the everlasting God. Already we have learned from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And we're looking at the preeminent attributes of the everlasting God. Number two, the predominant almightiness of the eternal God. Is almighty, and the nature of God is that there is nothing beyond his power, nothing that he cannot control. The predominant almightiness of the eternal God. Number three, the percentage all sufficiency of the ever living God. If he is everlasting, then he is ever living. And because he's ever living, any generation of people, any generation of believers, any generation of worshippers can come to him. Because after the past generation had gone, God is still alive, he's still living. And is the ever-living God, and he has all sufficiency of what we will need. The past generation, did not exhaust all the provisions of God, and the present generation will not exhaust all the provisions of God. He is all sufficient, and so we present that to ourselves and to the people around us, the presented all sufficiency of the ever living God. Let's come to point number one, the preeminent attributes of the everlasting God. Let's look at Psalm 102, reading from verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25 of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens at the work of thy hands. Then it says in verse 26, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. That means even when the creation is out of existence, the Almighty God is still there. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture. Thou shalt change them, thou and they shall be changed. But then in verse 27, it says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The preeminent attributes of the everlasting God. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the incomparable greatness of the everlasting God. He's great and greater than all things and all people. You can refer to as great. His greatness is incomparable. The incomparable greatness of the everlasting God. Number two, the incorruptible holiness of the everlasting God. That's his attribute, that's his nature. And that holiness of God is incorruptible. From everlasting to everlasting, the angels know him as holy. And everything on earth, everyone on earth and in heaven will recognize his holiness, because there is no stain, there is no spot. The holiness of God is incorruptible. Number three, the incontestable kingliness of the everlasting God. He is king, and it is incontestable. It is undoubtable. There is nothing that can make you doubt that kingliness of the everlasting God, the incontestable kingliness of the everlasting God. Let's come to number one. It's the incomparable greatness of the everlasting God. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. We're reading from verse 18. Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 18. To whom then were ye liking God? How are you going to compare God with anyone? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? He is incomparable in his greatness. In verse 28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, that's who he is, everlasting, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. That's the God we serve. That's the God who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem you and to bring you unto himself. What does that do for you? What does that do for me? In verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. He does not faint, but men sometimes will faint. He will give you power when you are fainting. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Day by day, as you know God more, your strength will increase. Your vision will increase. And then it says in verse 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The youth that have youthful energy, even they sometimes will faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But in verse 31, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. There are people who do not understand or know that there can be a situation in your life, no matter what you are facing, that God will so position you, so energize you, and so strengthen you that you will not be weary. You will not be discouraged. You will not faint. And you will go from strength to strength all the days of your life as you are believing the Lord in Jesus' name. Now, please understand that we who are New Testament believers, sometimes we're privileged to read the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Unfortunately for some of us, when we read the Old Testament, we identify with the Old Testament people. If they say they have affliction, we say, I have affliction too. If they say they are weary, they say, we say we're weary too. If they say that, you know, we're discouraged and we don't have strength, we don't know we're going to go forward, we identify with them. But understand, we're in the New Covenant. And when you read of things of the Old Covenant, you must understand He has reserved and prepared better things for us. And as I come to this verse 31, I understand whatever other people have gone through in the Old Testament, and whatever even some people are going through today, I know that as you wait on the Lord, you will not have the same pestilence as they have. You will not have the same affliction that they have. You will not have the same discouragement and the same weariness that they have, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Lord will renew you. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. And they shall walk and they shall not faint. That's our God. That's how great our God is. The incomparable greatness of the everlasting God. Let's come back to the Psalms. In Psalm 89, we're reading from verse 6. Psalm 89, reading from verse 6, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? That's why we don't pray to angels. Angels are in heaven, but we cannot compare them with God. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? That's why we don't pray to any mighty man on earth, the founder of a church or the founder of a denomination. We don't use their name to pray. We have a greater name, and that name is recognized in heaven, on earth, and everywhere. There is no son of the mighty that is comparable unto the Lord. It tells us in verse 7, it says in verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be heard in reverence of all them that are about him. Look at verse 8. It says in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord, like unto thee, incomparable, and to thy faithfulness round about thee. And then in verse 9, it says, thou rulest the region of the sea. Any stormy sea in your life, the Lord will pronounce calmness even tonight in Jesus' name. Any kind of trouble, any kind of uprising that will jolt you and make you unsettled, the God you serve, the God will serve, He will bring a calm to every storm of your life in Jesus' name. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. Rulest, that is that today. It's in the present continuous tense. And then it says, when the waves thereof arise, thou sealest them. Your life is calm. The storms in your life, they are controlled in Jesus' name. Let's look at number two now. Number two is the incorruptible holiness of the everlasting God. We're looking at Exodus chapter 15 and reading from verse 11. It says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" He is holy. Our God is holy. Your God is holy. Your heavenly Father is holy. And that's why he also requests and requires that because of his nature of incorruptible holiness, he wants that same thing in you and in me. In Isaiah chapter 6, we're reading from verse 3. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, "One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, not was, not will be, every time he is holy. And the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." And then we're told in verse 4, it says, "And the posts of the door moved, of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Then in verse 5, "Then said I," this is Isaiah, "then said I, this is a servant of God, then said I, this is somebody like you and I, he saw the holiness of God afresh, he heard of the holiness of God afresh, and then he saw his own ungodliness inward, depravity, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King," capital K, "the King, the Lord of hosts." Then in verse 6, we're told, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar." And then he laid in verse 7, "And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away." Can you see that instantaneous work of grace? An immediate work of grace. He cried unto the Lord, and then the Lord sent the angel and touched his mouth with the live coal, and immediately announced that now the iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. And then he was ready for greater service. You'll be ready for greater service. I will be ready for greater service. Look at verse 8. It says, "After I was cleansed, and after that iniquity was taken away, then in verse 8 also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." I'm available. I am available. You'll be available for greater service in Jesus' name. Know the holiness of God more and more, and plunge into the river and the cleansing fountain of the blood of the Lamb. And then when he purges and purifies you, and you become holier than you were before, a greater service will be granted unto you, unto me, unto us in Jesus' name. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "But as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's what he wants. And he is the one that will make it possible in your life. It will be done in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Then he says in verse 16, he says, "Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's come to number three now. Number three is the incontestable kingliness of the everlasting God. It's incontestable. He is so exalted, and he is the King. In Psalm 47, reading from verse 7, Psalm 47, reading from verse 7, "For God is the King of all the earth." Think about that. God is in control. God is in charge and is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Then in verse 8, it says, God reigneth over the heathen. Over all the earth is king. And because he's king, he reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. Revelation chapter 15, in verse 3. This, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Look at this, thou King of saints. Yeah, the King of saints, the King of the congregation of the saints, and the King of the church, and the King of the whole earth, and the King who reigns upon the heathen. And I pray that this greatness of God and this holiness of God and this kingliness of God will have a positive, practical impact in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Did I hear your amen? Amen. Number two now, point number two, the predominant almightiness of the eternal God. He is the eternal God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33. And we're reading from verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. I didn't hear you. You will trample upon every serpent and every scorpion on your way in Jesus' name. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Ah, that's your amen. You know, they say the higher you go, the cooler they become. But the higher you go, the hotter you'll become. They say the older you grow, the weaker you'll become. But for you, the older you grow, the stronger you will be in Jesus' name. And as your days, so shall your strength be. Look at verse 26. It says, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. He'll protect you, he'll preserve you, and no harm and no evil hand will touch you in Jesus' name. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the omnipotence of the eternal God. All powerful. Potency means power. The omnipotence of the eternal God. Number two, the omnipresence of the eternal God. Is always with you. In the night, in the day, is always present with you. And then number three, the omniscience of the eternal God. The omniscience of the eternal God. He has all knowledge about everyone and about everything on earth or anywhere. Let's come to number one, the omnipotence of the eternal God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In your life, nothing too hard for him. In your family, nothing too hard for him. any challenge, any mountain, any difficulty, anything that confronts you, you're going to discover, like a little thing, the Lord is going to solve that mighty great problem in Jesus' name. Because there is nothing, he told Abraham, nothing too hard for him. The problem was solved. And then look at Joshua as he went all through the land of Canaan, all those mighty kings and confederates, and they came against him. Joshua even said, "Sun, stand right there, stay there, don't move. And moon, stay there, don't move." In the old covenant, if those people overcame every challenge and every difficulty, I believe and I assure you, every challenge in your life, you'll overcome in Jesus' name. You will testify that nothing in your life, in your family, in your ministry, in your profession, nothing will be too hard for the Lord in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 1, we're looking at verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Every promise he has given you, he will fulfill. Every prophecy he has made, he will fulfill. Because with God, the eternal God, nothing shall be impossible. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, it says, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." There are times you go to an expert, a man, to help you resolve this, help you settle this. And then he says, "I've never seen any kind of sickness like this since I began my profession. I've never seen any difficulty, any challenge like this since I started as a counselor." And he says, my brother, my sister, I want to tell you the truth. Don't waste your money going here and there. This is impossible with man. Then as you come to God, in the moment of time, he will solve that problem. Because the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Look at your life. The things that appear impossible with you, with me, with anyone, with those who are trying to help us and they're not able, today you'll find our God is able. Your God is able. Life will not end at that point of your weakness. You will rise up in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two is the omnipresence of the eternal God. God is with you. He will always be with you. As you abide in Christ and abide in the word of God, he will be with you. Enemies will not be nearer to you than your God. Problems will not be nearer to you than your God. You will find your God, who is the solution to every problem. He'll be present with you all the time until you see him face to face in Jesus' name. Psalm 139, in Psalm 139, we're looking at verse 7. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Look at verse 8. It says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." And then in verse 9, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea." Then he says in verse 10, "Even there shall thy hand lead me, thy right hand shall hold me." He will never leave you. His presence will always be in your life in Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're reading from verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23. "Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? How far can you be that God will not be able to reach you there? Where are you living in the city? How far are you that God will not be there to answer your prayer? Look at verse 24. It says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? He feels everywhere, and you will find that God sees you, he knows you, is ever present. And when you pray, some people say when they pray, they don't feel their prayer going through the ceiling. Your prayer does not need to go through the ceiling. It's right there with you. And as you pray, as you talk to him, he hears you and hears everything that you are asking him. And you know, when he's there with you and he wants to answer your prayer, he doesn't need to say, wait, I forgot something, and then I need to go up and take it and come back to you. Anywhere God is, all the solutions are there with him at that time. Aren't you happy? You're a child of God, and the Lord is there all the time. In Ezekiel chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. Then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord has forsaken the earth. That was their ignorance, but we know that our God is present everywhere. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're looking at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, we're looking at verse 13. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. You are a creature, in fact, a new creature, and there is none of his creatures hidden away from him. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so, anywhere you are, anytime, understand, God is there. And because God is there, there is nothing that will overwhelm your life and overthrow your life in Jesus' name. Number three here is the omniscience of the eternal God. The omniscience of the eternal God. It tells us in Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 24. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. And they preach and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, knowest the hearts of all men. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows the heart of all believers. He knows the heart of all unbelievers. Thou God that knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Jeremiah, reading from chapter 32, verse 19. Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 19. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. He discerns everything. He says, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. He will not pass you by. He will not pass me by. He knows your need. He will fulfill that need in Jesus' name. Look at Hosea, Hosea chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 2. Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Evil people do not consider that God remembers all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. The heathen, he knows them. The believers, he knows them. The sinners, he knows them. And the saints, he knows them. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says, they make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. He tells us in verse 8, Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. He knew Ephraim, he knew Judah, he knew Israel. He knows you, he knows me, he knows everyone. In John chapter 21, we're reading from verse 17. John chapter 21, verse 17. He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Look at the response of Peter now. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. If you can be conscious of that every time, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know, sometimes when we Christians pray, we come in our prayer, we're giving information to God. God, did you know what I'm going through? God, did you know about this? God, did you know I'm tired now? God, did you know I am sick now? We seem to be giving information to God. But God says, what's your request? What are you asking for? All this information you're giving me, don't you think I know? He has all the information. And then he has come with the solution. Solution in your life, in Jesus' name. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. After he said, thou knowest all things, present yourself to God. And in your prayer, don't be giving information, information, information. You can tell him, this is where you suffer, and this is where your need is. And then immediately, make your request. He will answer your prayer. How soon will he answer your prayer? Look at Isaiah chapter 65. I'm reading from verse 24. Isaiah chapter 65. We're looking at verse 24. It shall come to pass that before the call, I will answer. That's me. I said, that's me. Before you call, he will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The Lord will hear. Speedily, he will answer you. Immediately, he will answer you. Because he is omnipotent. Because he is omnipresent. And because he is omniscient, he knows your need. He will fulfill the need in Jesus' name. Point number three now is the presented all sufficiency of the ever living God. Our God is ever living and is alive today. And whatever we need is going to answer in Jesus' name. It says, and this is the king now, Darius, and he says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, ever living. He is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And then he tells us in verse 27, he says, he delivereth, he will deliver you, and rescueth, he'll rescue you. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel? Daniel is gone. You are the one here. What's your name? Who has delivered? What's your name? He has delivered you. From oppression, he has delivered you. From powers of darkness, he has delivered you. He did it for Daniel. He will do it for you. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? The lions of yesterday will not crush you. The lions of today will not destroy you. And the lions of tomorrow will not stop your journey in Jesus' name. Let's look at three things here. Number one, the fatherhood of the ever-living God. The fatherhood of the ever-living God. Number two, the faithfulness of the ever-living God. And then number three, the faith of the ever-living God. Let's look at number one here. Number one is the fatherhood of the ever-living God. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 17. And I want you to notice something here. John chapter 20 verse 17. Jesus says unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. But go and tell my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. The Lord Jesus said, his Father is your Father. You didn't catch that one. Jesus said, his Father is your Father. And when you have the same Father with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loves you like he loved him. He'll provide for you like he provided for him. He protected him and he'll protect you. He fulfilled his will in the life of his only begotten son. And he is your Father. He says he will do the same thing for every one of us in Jesus' name. He says, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And as God has become your God and has become your Father, all the rights of the children in the family, the Lord will provide for you. Look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 32. Matthew chapter 6 verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows your need already. And he knows what you are going through right now. Those tears, he'll wipe them away. All that concern, he will solve them today. Because your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, I want to claim that for myself. And all these things shall be added unto me. And all these things shall be added unto me. Are you sure? Are you certain? Do you believe that blessings are coming over and over upon your life tonight? All these things shall be added unto you in Jesus' name. John chapter 16, and we're reading from verse 23. John chapter 16, reading from verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, assuredly, and surely I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. You're not asking a judge, you're asking your Father. You're not asking a stranger who is far away there that you don't know how he's going to respond. You're asking your Father, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I got it. I said I got it. My prayers are answered. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Your joy will be full. Let's look at number two here. Number two is the faithfulness of the ever-living God. The faithfulness of the ever-living God in Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Look at verse 90. In verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. As he was faithful to the generations of the past, he is faithful even today. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Look at Lamentation chapter 3. In Lamentation chapter 3, we're reading from verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning, when you have your quiet time, don't just have quiet time to fulfill all righteousness and to silence your conscience. I had quiet time today. Know that every morning, all the promises are new. Every morning, all the provisions are new. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Look at verse 24 there. It says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Hope in the Lord. Remember, it's your Father. And remember, his faithfulness is unto all his children and all generations. And then in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeketh him. And then in verse 26, it says, it is good that a man, a woman, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter should hope, should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation and the deliverance of the Lord. Our God is faithful. Your God is faithful. It's your Father, and he is a faithful Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful. Always remember that. You read a promise of God, remember, God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so anything you are going through, you always commit unto the Lord, because you know your God, your Father is faithful. First Peter chapter 4, verse 19. In First Peter chapter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. He created you, he will carry you through. He will carry me through. No matter what is happening, and no matter the wind that is blowing, and no matter how rough the way has been, he will carry you through. He will shield over you. A shadow, everlasting shadow, protecting shadow will be upon you in Jesus' name. Let's come to number three now. It's our faith in the ever-living God. He's faithful. He has never failed anyone. And if he's going to fail, you will be the first person of all the billions of people from the beginning of creation until this time that he has failed. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. His promise to you is yes and amen. There will be no failure in your life in Jesus' name. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're looking at verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, must believe that he is there for you. He is there waiting for you. He is there ready to answer your prayer. He is there, is ready to put all the provision of heaven at your disposal. But you must believe that, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You are diligently seeking the Lord, and you are diligently knowing the way of the Lord. And every time you are coming, and you know that God will not fail or disappoint you, he will not fail you. He will not disappoint you. The same faith other people have exercised and God fulfilled all the needs of their lives, that same faith, you come and you're asking without wavering, he must answer your prayer. And look at Galatians chapter 2. We're reading from verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. My old self is crucified with Christ, and my doubting self is crucified with Christ, and my unbelieving self of the past, all that is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What if you pray every time with the faith of the Son of God? What if you ask all that you need from God with the faith of the Son of God? You don't have just the faith of, you know, people in days gone by. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And you tell him, oh Lord Jesus, give me your faith, the same faith you had. I want to walk in that faith. I want to pray in that faith. I want to live in that faith. And he will answer. I said he will answer. He will give you that faith that holds on to the word of God every time. And then you live by the faith of the Son of God. You pray by the faith of the Son of God. You stand in the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. He will answer. I said he will answer. Now, tonight, as you come to pray, you come with that faith, nothing doubting. The promises are yes and amen, nothing doubting. I will not doubt. I will not doubt. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91, we're reading from verse 1. And everything you see here, you accept by the faith of the Son of God. Your prayers are answered. Your sorrows are taken away. All the oppression, everything is gone in Jesus' name. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, who is that? Where is he? You will not be disappointed. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow, under the canopy, under the umbrella, under the shelter of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. And look at your confession now in verse 2. It says in verse 2, I will say. You see, there are people, when they come to God in prayer, they are like trembling. They are coming like slaves. Come like a son, and come like the daughter of God that you are. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, you know. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. Will you trust him tonight? Look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, surely it shall deliver thee, surely, there's no doubt, surely, it shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. and from the noisome pestilence. And then in verse 4, he tells us, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Have you ever seen those officers that pull the shield when somebody is thrown at them, something is thrown at them? They pull the shield out. That thing that is thrown at you will not come to you. It will strike the shield. You are protected and preserved in Jesus' name. And then in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid. I will not be afraid. In the day, in the night, you will not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. In verse 6, it says, nor for the pestilence or pandemic that walketh in darkness. What are you? Pandemic will not touch you. All those things flying about will not touch your family in Jesus' name. Not for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. But 70,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come near thee. In verse 8, it says, only with thine eyes shalt thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. In verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where you live. Because of that, look at verse 10, it says, there shall no evil befall thee. You will not sleep. You will not be double-crossed. Enemies will not lock in a corner and get you. Before you get there, God will close their eyes. While you are gone, and then they open their eyes, where is he? You have gone into safety. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, shall any sickness, any disease come near thy dwelling. If they knock at the door, your faith will close the door against every plague in Jesus' name. In verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Then in verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And then in verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under your feet. Where is Satan now? Where are evil spirits now? Those serpents and scorpions, dragon, lion, where are they now? In verse 14, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Promotion is coming your way. Because he has known my name. Verse 15, it says in verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Somebody will pray tonight and God will answer. Where is the brother? Where is the sister? You will pray tonight and God will answer. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. Heaven will honor you. The Almighty God himself will honor you. Look at something. Verse 16. Look at this. With long life will I satisfy him. Satisfaction in your life. Abundance in your life. Health in your life and total dominion in your life in Jesus' name. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Where is he? Why don't you rise up? Where is she? Why don't you rise up and say, Lord, I thank you because I know you are God. You are the everlasting God. You are the eternal God. And you have not changed. And I know you are the ever-living God. The promises of God are yes and amen in your life. Your prayer is answered tonight. While you're still praying, it's answering. And even as you offer the prayer, it says, here is what you're asking for. Here is what you need. Here is your request. It will fulfill it in your life, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Open your mouth wide, and God will fill it.